we're on our way to that castle way up there. We got to climb a bunch of steps.
It's the castle.
All under the watchful eye of once mighty castle.
Majestic castles lord over every twist and bend.
I know.
Castles are the most impressive and distinctive monuments in the land.
Get out of here!
To understand castles, who built them and why?
I ask myself that every day.
Like I've been telling you for the past couple of weeks, you never know where the Grape Encounters microphones are going to turn up. And if you'll recall, a few weeks back, we interviewed Jim Allen, who is the marketing director for the famed Hearst Castle in San Simeon. And Jim invited us to come up to Hearst Castle. And guess what? That is exactly where we're standing right now. In fact, we're looking out over the most beautiful pool that exists, I think, in North America, or perhaps the world even, Jim, right?
Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, and in your eyes and mine, we agree this is one of the most striking outdoor swimming pools I think I've ever seen or experienced. It's called the Neptune Pool.
And if you're a privileged character, you may get to swim in the pool, but you probably have to make a donation to the Hearst Foundation, right?
That's right. The Friends of Hearst Castle is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that does special events here at the castle. You can learn more about it on their website at friendsofhearstcastle.org. You can bid on the opportunity to have a swim actually in this pool.
And you got the commercial in even before we identified the show, Jim. It is, of course, Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson. My guest for the entire show today is going to be Jim Allen. Of course, we will have the gadget guru at the end of the show, which everybody waits for. And unfortunately, he couldn't be here with us today and was really salivating at the opportunity to come here. But in the meantime, you probably wonder why we're talking about Hearst Castle on a wine show. And there are really two reasons why. First of all, this was, of course, one of the most decadent places on earth, and wine figured very much into the life of William Randolph Hearst. So where are we going to visit, Jim, that is wine-oriented here in the castle?
Well, here at Hearst Castle today, we're going to go down to the wine cellar, which is still stocked with about 3,000 original bottles from Mr. Hearst.
And as collection. I understand it, I get to pick out one bottle of my choice, right?
Dreams. Dreams are for...
Why can't we, why can't you just say, yeah, you can have it, but you gotta keep it here? I'll loan it to you for indefinitely, yes.
That's the great thing about visiting Hearst Castle is using your imagination, going back in time and history and experiencing the place for yourself.
So we go to the wine cellar and then other wine-related features.
Well, we're going to step into the kitchen as well and see where food was prepared, where wine was brought from the wine cellar up to the kitchen before it was served to Mr. Hearst guest back in the heyday.
All right, so why don't we head up the steps? And there are a lot of steps in this castle, and I'm guessing you've counted them.
I certainly have negotiated them, and with a little bit of patience, just about anybody can make the steps here at Hearst Castle.
Okay, so tell us where we're headed right now. This is a very steep staircase outside, okay? It goes from the pool up to where?
We're going to head up to a terrace just above the pool called the Neptune Terrace, which has commanding views of the outdoor pool and the surrounding mountainsides as well.
Okay, now, the other couple of reasons why we're talking Hearst Castle and wine today. First of all, the Hearst family operates a really terrific winery, which is very close to here. In fact, what, just across the highway, right?
They have a tasting room just across the highway in the historic San Simeon. It's a shop that was built back in 1852 and has been continuously in operation since then.
Really? Since 1852?
That's right, back when it was a whaling port.
So that's the second wine reason to come to Hearst Castle. The third is that this is one of the greatest things that you can do when you're on a wine tasting trip. I mean, we're just surrounded by wine country. And of course, there are a number of wineries popping up in this area, but then you've got the Paso Robles area that's what, maybe just 20, 30 minutes away?
Right, just over these hills. If you could drive straight across those hills, you'd be there in 15, 20 minutes. But the way the highways wind through the hillsides, the green hillsides, it's about a 45-minute trip to the Paso Robles area. There's over 200 wineries.
So for those of you who are listening, look straight at your radio, shut your eyes, and then turn your head in your mind to the right, and you'll see these very green hills that are off to the right in the distance. And gosh, we're almost as high as those hills, right?
We are. We're at about 1,600 feet above sea level right
okay,
now.
Okay, so those at home, hopefully you've got that picture in your head, and we'll try to keep painting pictures for you as we go along. And we can make up anything we want, Jim, because this is radio.
Okay. Very good.
All right, so where do we go next?
Just around the corner here and up the stairs.
Up more stairs. I know everybody's listening going, are you guys getting tired just walking with us? We're already like 100 stairs into this by now. I notice a lot of citrus on the property. I mean, there must be thousands of citrus trees here.
There are. There's tangerines, tangelos, grapefruits, oranges, kumquats, loquats, all different ornamental varieties that were grown for the gardens and just part of the overall Mediterranean design of the buildings, the landscaping, the walkways. It's all pretty much thematic to be harmonious with the natural surroundings, with the art collections that he had, with the architectural design as well.
Speaking of art collections, somebody told me that somewhere off the premises, there is a storage area that contains still a lot of artifacts and art. True?
Well, not that belongs to state parks. The Hearst family may still have warehouses with art. I don't know exactly what exists still today, but there are warehouses down at the bottom of the hill. I don't believe that they're storing art down there any longer. But
now, Jim, you've worked for this company for 18 years for the State Park Service, right?
Actually,
I would think by now you'd want to get into that little storage area and find out. There's probably a few bottles of wine in there as well.
I hope so, and I hope somebody comes upon them and enjoys them. We're going to paint a little picture for the listeners as well. We're looking off to the north. You can see the green hills in the foreground, and then the more densely forested hills. And way in the distance, you see that snow-capped peak.
Yeah, way
that's
off
called,
there.
Yeah, that's Mount Junipero Serra Peak, right at the base of that hill. That was the beginning of the Hearst Ranch back when Mr. Hearst lived here.
No kidding.
275,000 acres for the ranch.
How far away is that?
That's about 40 miles.
Holy smoke. Just selling newspapers. I would have liked to have had that paper route. I'll tell you what.
There you go.
All right. So we're at like three levels up right now.
That's it. We're going to pace ourselves and gradually work our way up towards the main part of the estate.
Okay, so now we're standing in front of some structures that seem to be separate of the castle, and these are the guest houses, right?
Right. There were three guest houses completed. The one we're standing in front of has a view of the ocean, so it's called La Casa del Mar.
Okay.
The one in the center, La Casa del Sol, for its view of the setting sun. And the third, on your distant right, is La Casa del Monte, for the view of the Santa Lucia Mountains.
Now, lest you think we're talking about a little guest cottage with a queen-size bed in it, how many rooms in these guest cottages?
The one we're standing in front of is 22 rooms on four levels. But compared to the main house, which is 65,000 square feet, 165 rooms.
65,000 square feet.
Yeah.
How many rooms?
In the main house, 165.
And did they get used?
They did. Every room was used.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to probably be able to see three of them today.
But it'll be a lot of fun.
Okay. So we're going to head up. We're going to turn the other direction, and we're going to head up through the front door, right?
Let's do it.
Okay. Let's go. All right. So now we're walking toward what I guess is the front door to the castle. But if I was a guy that was selling magazine subscriptions, let's say, I am not sure which door I would knock on to find the head of the household. But this is it right here.
Yeah, there's a number of entrances to the house, but this you could call the main entrance to the main house. The main house is aptly named Casa Grande. It is a pretty good size house.
But it was not called Hearst Castle when Mr. Hearst was living here, right? He considered it to be more humble digs.
Well, you know, humble I can't say, but he did grow up camping here as a child. That's why he selected this site to build the house. His parents took him camping here when he was in his mid-50s, about age 56. His parents passed away. He inherited the land and wanted to build here at San Simeon. There's a plaque just in front of us here that we can maybe just take a couple steps over to.
Sure.
And it references really why this is open to the public today, that this was presented to the state of California in 1958 by the Hearst Corporation in memory of Mr. Hearst and his mother, who really inspired it. His mother was the person who really stimulated and nurtured his interest in art and history and collecting at a very early age.
Any idea what the value of the art collection here is?
You know, in terms of dollars, no.
Prices,
in terms
though.
Of, yeah, prices, no. You know, it would be a very complex thing to try and value these objects.
Particular objects that are worth more than others that are considered to be the cream of the crop in terms of the antiquities here?
You know, there are some Italian paintings that are very special up in Mr. Hurst's room. There are many objects of art that were owned previously by very famous people. And those greatly can influence the financial value of the objects. And we tend to look more at the historical value of what's here, how irreplaceable this is, preserving this period of history from the United States and from California and what Mr. Hurst created here.
Okay, so we're going to go through the front door. You are tuned in to Grape Encounters Radio. My guest is Jim Allard, Marketing Director. We are at the front door of Hurst Castle, San Simeon, on the central coast of California, and we're going to visit some of the more wine-oriented spots inside Hurst Castle when we come back. But just a reminder, Grape Encounters Radio is proudly brought to you by EpicStyle.com. If you are a wine lover, you can either come to Hurst Castle or you can go online to EpicStyle.com, where they have absolutely everything you could ever want, need, or desire for your wine-loving needs. EpicStyle.com. When we return, we will be inside Hurst Castle. And Jim, which room will we be in? The kitchen?
We're going to start out in the assembly room, one of the 14 living rooms.
Okay. When we return with Grape Encounters.
When people say you're aging like fine wine, they may be implying that you're getting complex and a little fruity. This is Grape Encounters Radio.
Lots of wineries talk about growing great grapes. This winery talks about growing great wines. Sarlos & Sons in Los Olivos, California, grows great wine, period. This family winemaking operation doesn't have a traditional mission statement. They have a family creed. Live to honor those that come before us and prepare the way for those yet to come. It's with this sense of pride that Sarlos & Sons grows great wine. Grapes grown in the shadow of the farmer ensures the highest quality of grapes are used in Sarlos & Sons wines. Check them out at sarlosandsons.com and also be sure to check out their once-in-a-lifetime wines. Sarlos & Sons is a dream coming true, and they can help make your dreams come true with their exclusive once-in-a-lifetime wines, which commemorate those unrepeatable, unforgettable moments in your life. Learn more about this and more at sarlosandsons.com. That's S-A-A-R-L-O-O-S and sons.com.
We are so fortunate on Grape Encounters Radio to have some incredible authors of books related to wine on the show. But there are two books that I really have a soft spot in my heart for. The first one is a book that just came out. It's called Yard Wine. It's a neighborly thing written by Nancy Roddy and Kathy Larson. Oh my gosh, if you want to know how to bring your neighborhood together using a bottle of wine and your front porch, then pick up a copy of Yard Wine. You'll find the link at grapeencounters.com. Now, another book that I've got a real soft spot for is Tom Silberkleid's California Directory of Fine Wineries. There is no better wine-related travel book than the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Absolutely spectacular photographs, great information. This book will make you salivate more than a great Cabernet Sauvignon. You'll find a link to Tom's book also on grapeencounters.com. Check out the reading material at grapeencounters.com. Back with Grape Encounters Radio, David Wilson here. We are at Hurst Castle, and we said that we were going to enter the castle and go into the assembly room, but there was an assembly going on there. My guest is Jim Allen, who is the marketing director for Hurst Castle. So we scooted past everybody into the kitchen, and this is a pretty big kitchen. Bigger than most people's houses.
David, actually, we're standing in the pantry. The next room is going to be this is the pantry. The kitchen is the next room. You can see it when you look down there. The ovens and bread ovens and the rotisseries and things like that as well. We're looking at what look like ice boxes, but these were actually electric refrigerators, which were quite modern for their time.
Really?
And standing right behind me then is the shelves where the butler would go down and either on his own or with guests and pick out the wines and sherries and things that guests preferred for their stay. They'd keep them here. We're just around the corner from the dining hall here in the kitchen. And you can get a close-up look, and you can see mostly we've got some German white wines, French reds.
Yeah, from the 20s and the 30s.
The labels.
And I'm looking at a Lafite from 1919. And none of these bottles have been opened. This is the real deal.
This is the real deal. This is before the proliferation of wineries in California, so you're going to see some California wines in there, but it's still pretty limited at this point. And later on, we'll go down into the wine cellar and see a cross-section of all the liqueurs, cocktails, and so forth that were available for guests to enjoy.
Can we just take a time out and just grab a corkscrew and a couple of glasses here and just check the integrity of these wines so that we can report that back to the public? I think they want to know.
Take two. They're small.
Okay. All right. Let's see the real kitchen in it. This is the pantry.
Sure.
And I'm guessing that this room is 1,500 square feet.
You know, I don't know the square footage on this one.
And so this is the kitchen itself, which actually is not as big as the pantry.
It's not in terms of square footage, but it's chock full of equipment, virtually everything that you'd need to prepare meals for anywhere from 10 to 100 guests.
Now, you said when we were off the air that this was actually a room that was unfinished. Unfinished in what way? Because it looks complete to me.
Well, as you take a look at the walls, you see the bare concrete and the exposed concrete beams. There is some tile and adornment you can see in the pantry area. Many of the rooms above us are just bare concrete walled rooms that were never finished. The castle actually was never completed. Construction started in 1919 and continued until 1947, but was never finished.
That's a long time.
Nearly three decades.
No idea what the tab was to build it. I'm always asking the price of things, you know, but
that's okay.
And you're never going to tell me.
As best they can piece together, it came to only about $10 million, but you got to remember this was when, you know, a loaf of bread was a few cents, buying a brand new car was only a few hundred dollars, so this was a different time economically, that's
for sure.
I
think even in this tough economy, they'd probably get more than $10 million for it today.
Okay. That would be deeply discounted.
Okay, so I'm looking at a cabinet here that's full of some beautiful glasses, but one in particular that's kind of interesting. It's got a figure of a woman. I think she's not wearing anything.
You know, you can see some frosted glass Art Deco era glassware here, and you'll notice they're framed and held in place because there's no traditional flat base for these glasses.
Right, yeah.
It's rounded, and as you mentioned, there's Art Deco era ladies who are carved into these glasses. They're called bottoms-up glasses, and as I mentioned, there's no stem. There's no base to it, so they can't sit flat on a tabletop. So when these are filled with drink, you say bottoms up and drink them
you
all
drink
and
it
put
and
them back
you
in.
You see her bottom.
That's
all right.
In a word.
Where are we headed to now?
Let's head out to the dining room.
My guest, of course, is Jim Allen, the marketing director for Hearst Castle. And Jim, we're going to go into the dining room, which is right in front of us. But off to the right here is a billiard room, right?
That's it. It's lots of times after dinner, guests would come on in and have a game of billiards.
And this ain't like any pool hall you've ever seen before.
Not the kind I'm accustomed to. We've got tapestries here from Belgium dating back to the 16th, 15th century.
Yeah. Now, let's just say I was shooting a game of pool here, and I wanted a glass of wine, a great wine. Could I just order anything I wanted, and would they bring it to me?
I'll bet they would. And just at the end of that table, you can see one of the old Bakelite phones. Bakelite was a precursor to hard plastics. You could pick up the phone and get hold of the switchboard operator, get information about where you are.
Yeah, how many people got lost here, and is that how you found your way around? You just picked up the phone and said, help, and would they know where you were at?
Before she passed away, we interviewed one of switchboard operators who said that was the most common call she got was, where am I? How do I get from X to Y?
Okay, so we're scooting along, and actually now we're straddling two rooms, this ginormous dining room, then a room adjacent to it, which is, I have no idea.
This room's called the assembly room. This is where guests would assemble
with Mr. Hirsch and have cocktails and hors d'oeuvres.
That's
yes.
It, precisely. People would come on through and gather whatever they'd done during the course of the day. They might have been out horseback riding, strolling in the garden, swimming, playing tennis, whatever the case may be, but everyone would come together here in the early evening for cocktails and hors d'oeuvres or a glass of wine.
As opposed to the dining room.
Right. And
did they close the dining room off until dinner was served? I mean, dinner is served.
Exactly. They actually had a butler who would come through that door you're looking at and ring a cowbell.
I could have used a little more cowbell.
And announce that dinner was ready to remind you that you were at the ranch at San Simeon.
Now, how many seats around the dining room table am I looking at?
There are 22.
That seems very small. Did the guests come to dinner in shifts, perhaps?
Usually he had 22 or fewer guests. If they had a larger accompaniment of guests, they would set up in tents outside in the rear courtyard.
Because I'm guessing with 165 rooms that it gets kind of crowded with more than 22 in the place.
It sure could.
65,000 square feet?
65,000 square feet okay. in the building we're in.
All right. Now, what about these little narrow seats around the walls? What are those for?
These are old choir stalls. These are in this room. They're 400 to 500 years old from Italy. So they're collected by Hearst as works of art.
And you could actually sit on them? Is that okay?
You could. Today we don't, to help preserve them.
In that day, you would sit on them and have a religious experience there in the castle. Is that right?
You could. I think most people didn't. They probably sat in the nice overstuff furnishings here.
Okay, so now the pièce de la résistance. We are going to go to the wine cellar. We came all the way here for that. It's Grape Encounters Radio at Hearst Castle.
In San Simeon.
Grapes are one of the few things that are better off dead than alive. Well, actually, there are a few people that... never mind. More Grape Encounters Radio coming your way.
Tired of being caught unprepared? Want to be a good scout? That's what we thought. With Napkin by JNC Enterprises, you can be Johnny on the spot and be prepared for unexpected messes. The Napkin is one very clever product. These little beauties are barely the size of a small breath mint, but they come to life as a durable, convenient, and sturdy hand towel with just a few drops of water. You'll want to keep a supply of napkins everywhere you would keep a hand towel, paper towel, wash rag, or moist towelette. Napkin is all of these things in one very compact little tablet. Use it to wipe greasy hands, remove makeup, and even to entertain dinner guests. You never know when Napkin will come in handy. Get Napkin at NapkinJNC.com. It's completely eco-friendly and made of 100% recycled paper. Clean your environment and keep the environment clean with Napkin from NapkinJNC.com.
One of these days, I'm going to get in trouble for picking on pretentious people. Who knows, you know, I may go home one night, pull back the covers, and find a turned-up nose in my bed. Look, if you're a wine lover who really is put off by pretentiousness, if you want to discover more ways to have fun with fermented fruit, if you're always looking for new wine-related adventures and discoveries, then check out GrapeEncounters.com. GrapeEncounters.com has a huge library of audio adventures covering topics you're just not going to hear anyplace else. It's fun, fascinating, and it's free. Hey, there's something funny about this wine. So join us at the corner of fermented and demented. It's GrapeEncounters.com. Come on, give us a taste. When it comes to wine, it's the most fun that you can have without turning your feet purple. GrapeEncounters.com.
Bottle of wine, fruit of the vine. When you gonna let me get sober? Let me alone, let me go home. Let me go back to start.
And we are back with Grape Encounters Radio. David Wilson with my guest. Actually, I'm his guest, Jim Allen. At Hearst Castle at San Simeon on the central coast of California. And I wish you could see where we're standing right now because it's this really narrow, steep hallway that winds down. It's a circular staircase. And we're taking Grape Encounters listeners where, Jim?
To the Hearst Castle Wine Cellar.
And down to the wine cellar we go, and I have, Jim, in my pocket, just a little Cub Scout corkscrew with me, so this is the part I've been waiting for, and one of those little collapsible cups in case you don't have any glasses down here.
There you go.
Of course, I'm teasing because you're not going to let me get anywhere near the wine bottles, but uh-oh, we are here, and I'm turning the corner, and this is like a huge wow. Holy smoke! This is just loaded with wine.
Did you notice we walked through a bank vault door coming into the wine cellar?
No, I didn't, but it is. That's what it is.
He bought a series of these bank vaults, and one of them is installed here at the wine cellar. An interesting historical anecdote, of course, is during most of the heyday of Hearst Castle, this is the Prohibition years, right?
Oh, so yeah.
He kept a close eye on the liquor supply, but he liked enjoying wine with food, kind of the Mediterranean lifestyle overall. And you get to see up close here some of the champagnes and the French reds and the German whites and everything, the
I've noticed a lot of German wines here. He was very fond of German wine.
Some of the sweet ones, some of the Auslieses here and others.
Any idea what the rarest wine in this room is? Has anybody ever told you, or do you know?
We do have some analysis here, and the analysis goes into a lot of detail, and I'm not sure I want to bore you with all that, but there's just a jaw-dropping diversity here of beers, American champagnes, European champagnes, lots of German white wines, as you can see right in front of us from Alsace.
This seems to be the dominant wine in the cellar is German wines. And, you know, just to be clear, it looks like Mr. Hirst was a big fan of Auslaces. Okay, so you have Spätlaces and then you have Auslaces, which are a little bit sweeter than the Spätlaces. And then Gewürztraminers all over the place, but it looks like, you know, probably about half the cellar, no, not half, but maybe a third of the cellar is German. A lot of Italian wines, and then, of course, a lot of French wines as well. And then some of the wines, a good portion of them, unfortunately, the corks have blown on these bottles, right, Jim? They just have deteriorated over time. And
they have, but you still have the sense that you're somewhere that is a really special part of the castle. It was a part of everyday life that the butler would come down here either on his own or with guests, discuss what was available, discuss what kind of wines you liked. He would collect them, bring them up to the kitchen, and make them available to you for the duration
of
your stay.
Now, wait a second. Maybe that's why the corks are missing, is the butler would sneak down here. You got to imagine a lot of that happened in here.
You can't help but wonder, you know, people are people.
There had to be a great deal of decadence and debauchery that went on in Hirst Castle, or do we know that? What kind of a guy was William Randolph Hearst? Was he a straight-laced guy, or did he like to party?
Well, you know, taking into account that he started building Hirst Castle at age 56 in 1919, so by the time enough of it that was built that he was living here, he was well into his 60s and 70s, so maybe in his mellower years. He enjoyed wines and beer and alcohol, but in moderation, as I said, kind of part of the overall food experience.
And this is amazing. I'm looking now in a case that has Old Nick rum, and really of everything that's in this wine cellar, these are the best preserved bottles. They look like the labels were printed yesterday. And then just a ton of wines here that are all Italian wines, and these all still have the corks in them, and I can't really see what the label says. Any idea?
I can see it says Italy on the necker here, and then below it, I wonder if these are actually, what do you make martinis with? You make it with
I don't drink
gin?
Martinis, Jim.
Okay. It comes with vermouth. No,
that's the martini show that's got to come through here. Vermouth
like
is what you're talking about, though,
martini.
Yes.
Martini. I'm just wondering if this is actually vermouth we're looking at. I'm not sure.
I can't really tell from looking. It's a little bit dark in here anyway. But now let's wander over here because this is super interesting. We've got a lot of Italian wines in the traditional baskets, but they're not from Italy. They're actually Italian Swiss colony and also really in good shape here. But you've got to imagine that at the time these wines were purchased, that Italian Swiss Colony was not a big company, but rather maybe just a boutique California winemaking operation. Just kind of depends on when these got here.
Yeah, it could very well have been. I don't know the exact dates that these made their way here, but we know, as I say, the castle was built between 1919 and 1947, and many of those years included those Prohibition years.
So. Okay, so here's the place I really want to go into. It's yet another bank vault door, and the door's open, but then there's another door, and then there's a lock on it, and then all of the wine that I see inside this smaller room adjacent to the main wine cellar all looks like it is wine that is still in great shape, and maybe it's somebody's stash.
I think it may be. You know, I believe that is a temperature-controlled room in through here, and you can see that the bottles look like they're in pretty good shape. Looks like some of them might be empties, though, as well. Hard to see in the lighting. Never been in that room myself.
Okay, so this is interesting here. I'm looking at a bottle of California Port, but it is Big Tree brand California wines. The date on this port is 1899, and it's amazing because it's got a picture of that great redwood that you can actually drive through to this day. I don't know if you can still drive through it to this day, but it has a wagon train coming through the tree instead on the label. And this, of course, is way prior to Prohibition. So interesting. Gosh, most of these wines are pre-Prohibition, as a matter of fact, it looks like.
There is, just above it, looks like it says California Vintages Etoquei.
Yeah, it is. And unfortunately, the corks are out of that one, too. That kind of just breaks my heart to see some of these wines have not survived. But wow, very cool. Okay, so just a couple of other things that I'm looking at here now. All right, I'm going to say it. It's called Sec, and it's from Amsterdam, and the brand is Fink. Okay, I'm not making this up, all right? I have no idea what Kummelsek is. Any idea?
I don't know the details of this. It looks like it's some sort of a liqueur.
Yeah, maybe perhaps. And then a lot of other liqueurs as well. There's Curacao here, triple sec. And I have no idea what's up there on the top shelf, but those bottles look like they're in grape shape. Grape shape. One of the really interesting things is that you see a lot of labels from wineries that obviously have come and gone. They undoubtedly don't exist anymore. But you also see a lot of labels from winemakers and champagne makers. And what's interesting, for instance, I'm looking at a magnum of Cordon Rouge from Mumm & Company, and it's exactly the same label that they have today. And this bottle, just looking at it, it doesn't actually have, at least I don't see the year on it, but one has to imagine that it, I mean, it certainly is at least 50 years old, right? So they haven't changed since then. And then over here to my left is a couple of bottles from BV. And these labels are exactly the same labels that have been on BV Wines forever and what you will find on BV Wines today. So, yeah, pretty interesting in that respect. Some things have changed a lot and some things haven't changed at all.
Also here, just behind that French champagne you pointed out, is a California vintner, Paul Masson, vintage 1924 champagne. And
now, I've got to have something to say about this, because this is what I did not expect to see in here. But actually, you would want to see a bottle of Paul Masson. The date again, 1924. Now, think about it. Orson Welles was the spokesperson for Paul Masson.
We will sell no wine before its time.
Orson Welles played a character that was supposed to resemble William Randolph Hearst in the movie Citizen Kane. So how appropriate for there to be Paul Masson here in the cellar.
It's timeless, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, is that a joke having to do with we will serve no wine before it's time? Is that where you were going with that one?
I'm always trying to keep at least a step ahead of you, David.
Jim, we got just a couple more minutes. Let's talk about wine and the Hearst family today and what they're doing.
You know, there's a wine label that the Hearst family has put together. They're growing the grapes over in Paso Robles. You can buy the wine across the street, taste the wine across the street at Sebastian's store. You can also enjoy a glass when you're here at the visitor center as well with your meal.
They do serve it here.
They do.
By the way, the visitor center, I just want to remark about that. We, of course, met you at the visitor center. That is maybe the coolest visitor center on planet Earth. You could spend a whole day just in there between the shops and the dining establishments. There's more than one in there.
That's right. There's
just
several
very, very cool stuff. And it's huge. I have no idea how big it is, but it's really big.
44,000 square feet, not including the IMAX theater. So there's plenty of things to see.
44,000 square feet.
Yes. There's exhibits as well off to the side. You can go in and enjoy, and those are free of charge.
Now let's talk about the tours that people can take here, because not every tour goes to the same places, right?
That's
right. And the wine cellar and the kitchen tour is something that's going to be brand new, right?
That's right. The Kitchens and Cottages tours goes through two of the guest houses, the guest house we were standing in front of earlier, as well as the Casa del Monte. And you come into the wine cellar and the kitchen and tour through those areas.
Okay, so you can check out the tours online, and you just go to what website?
Hearstcastle.com.
Okay, easy enough. So if you're coming up to the Central Coast for a wine weekend or a wine week, let's say, you definitely have to put Hearst Castle on your agenda. You definitely want to take the kitchen and wine cellar tour. And frankly, I think it's worth the drive from almost any place to come and check out this, or flight from any place for that matter. If you're coming from out of state, you fly into...
You can fly into LA or San Francisco. There is also air service directly into San Luis Obispo, just about 40 miles south of here.
Okay, and so to take best advantage of the region, to get your best wine experience and do the Hearst Castle experience, and of course maybe even go on up to Big Sur, which is a great ride from here, where would you want to land? I mean, not your plane, but your butt.
Well, we've got 7,000 hotel rooms to choose from here in San Luis Obispo County, a wide variety of properties to choose from. So we've got everything from moderate to budget to deluxe.
And you can stay right on the coast. And by the way, if you want to stay right on the coast, you can do that, and you can be in wine country. At least you can be at a winery in a matter of minutes. I mean, you're really talking 15, 20 minutes is the furthest you're going to have to travel to get to the first winery, I think.
When you stay here in San Luis Obispo County, everything's within easy driving distances, the beaches, the wineries, Hearst Castle, great hiking trails, lots of things to see and do.
And there's no traffic, and the cost of wines here is a lot less than most places on Earth, and the quality is a pure 10 in many respects. There's more to see here than you could possibly do in a week or even 2 weeks. And staying here is not expensive either. So all the way across the board, it's a great place to come, and I'm glad that we've had the opportunity to talk about it in depth for the past couple of weeks, because it's one of my favorite places on Earth, and really the reason why we're doing Grape Encounters Radio, because the show was actually born here on the central coast of California, which is just as good a place to visit and live as any place on planet Earth. If you love Europe, if you love any tourist destination on planet Earth, you're going to find a little bit of any place that you can think of right here. Fair enough?
Absolutely.
Did I say that right?
You got the job.
I got the job. Jim Allen, I appreciate it. And that's going to do it for this visit to Hearst Castle. Check them out online. Again, it's hearstcastle.com.
Absolutely.
And you can check it out. But again, come here, take the cellar tour and the kitchen tour and the cottage tour. It's all the same tour. And you'll have a great time. And tell them that Grape Encounter sent you. Next up, it is the gadget guru, Matt Dubow. And we will see what Matt has up his sleeve. And we will rub in his nose the fact that he didn't get to come to Hearst Castle with us on Grape Encounters Radio.
Money may not buy happiness, but it will buy you some very good wine. And if that doesn't make you happy, you need to be listening to a self-help show, not Grape Encounters Radio.
You know, for most people, wine is more than just a beverage. It's a lifestyle, motivating enthusiasts to decorate in wine themes, collect the latest gadgets, and coordinate the table setting with wine glasses and accessories that celebrate the season or occasion. It's no wonder that epicstyle.com is the hottest spot on the internet to shop for wine lifestyle products. Nothing compares to epicstyle.com's selection of clever, functional, fun, and beautiful products for wine lovers. epicstyle.com.
This is the time of year when wine lovers start planning their pilgrimage to California's wine regions. The perfect inspiration and companion is the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Featured are profiles of dozens of Central Coast and Northern California wineries, along with hundreds of color images by renowned photographer Robert Holmes. Plus, highlights of tours, tastings, maps, and events. These beautiful directories make a fantastic gift. Be sure to like the California Directory of Fine Wineries Facebook fan page for wine country news and events each week. Click on the link at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
From time to time, you hear stories about everyday average people who, while cleaning the garage, come upon a painting that nobody liked. And what do you know? It turns out to be a Picasso. I wonder what it would be like to stumble upon a bottle of wine tucked away in a dark corner of your grandparents' pantry that was given to their parents as a wedding present. Rare wines can be very valuable indeed, and every bottle has an amazing story behind it. If you'd like to get up close and personal with some of the rarest wines on the planet, or better yet, if you'd like to take a stab at buying a bottle or two to treasure or even savor on some extraordinary special occasion, then you need to make your way to the St. Mark's 3rd Annual Cellar Classic, an auction of rare and fine wines on Saturday, July 28th in Los Olivos, California. You absolutely have to be there. July 28th in Los Olivos, California. For more information, click on the link at GrapeEncounters.com.
So did the scientists put the gadgets in him when he was a baby? Or was he born that way?
Guess what?
What?
I got him. up. And the only prescription is this.
I want to tell you about a safe new revolutionary
Gadget
product.
Gadget lasso, gadget magnet, gadget binoculars, gadget laser, gadget ski, gadget blow dryer, gadget flashlight.
I cannot imagine a better product today.
I have never seen a man work so hard at looking busy.
No matter what happens, you've got to stay close to Uncle Gadget.
Go, go, Gadget oil slick.
This is David Wilson with Grape Encounters Radio, and I have to admit that Grape Encounters Radio wouldn't be nearly as much fun if it weren't for the gadget guru, Matt Dubow of EpicStyle.com, who, for whatever reason, chose not to come with us on our three-week whirlwind visit to San Luis Obispo County on the central coast of California. Matt, do you feel bad yet?
Well, I don't think I got an invite, number one.
you certainly did. Don't tell people that. I said, come on up. But I guess taking even one day off for you is tough.
Yeah, but I would have made it up there to go where you're at now.
Yeah, do you know where I am right now?
I have a great idea.
Okay, take a guess.
Hearst Castle.
Absolutely. Hey, have you been here?
I love that place.
Well, it's kind of like your home, isn't it?
I wish.
165 rooms, Matt.
It's amazing.
If all you did was put a corkscrew in every room, you know, your profits would go up.
That place is just amazing.
You know, I don't think you probably got to hear the segment that we recorded down in the wine cellar, but there's a whole lot of wine down there, some of it dating back to the 1800s. Many, many of the wines are still 100% intact. But you know what, Matt? The corks are blown on a bunch of those wines, and had they had some preservation products sitting nearby, they might have saved some of that wine.
They really messed up.
You know what you should do? You should call the California State Park Service and just tell them that you can give them great assistance in preserving the wines in the Hearst Castle wine cellar.
Can I mention your name?
That'll probably get you thrown out, but I'm kind of in a little bit of trouble here because I made multiple attempts to acquire one of those bottles of wine, but got my hand slapped numerous times. You know, I figured if I had just one of certain of those bottles, I could retire. I mean, that's just how priceless and valuable the stuff in there is. And a lot of those wines were in there during Prohibition. Mr. Hearst didn't necessarily play by the rules.
Huh.
He's our kind of guy, right?
Of course.
Hey, you know, last week, Matt, we were talking about ways to keep wine super, super cold. And I realized you skipped something. And I was running through the EpicStyle.com site, and you have these wonderful gel totes. And you didn't even mention those. Why not?
Well, there's so many things to talk about. We were out of time. You were busy gallivanting up in the Central Coast.
Matt, look, if there's something that's really important, we will tell our radio affiliates, look, you need to extend the show another 20 minutes because Matt has more to say. I mean, that's what we'll tell them, but they certainly won't do it. But no, tell me about that product for a second, because that seems like a really good dual-purpose product. You put it in the freezer, I take it, you chill it, put the wine bottle in it, and then you take it off to the party.
Yeah, it's great. And they come in multiple colors. There's a pink, a blue, a green, and a clear. And it's kind of fun. You know, a little different than your average type of tote. So people really seem to like them because of the colors.
Well, we are here at Hearst Castle and are going to have to leave fairly soon. But I kept thinking to myself, what is the epic style product or product line that best suits the Hearst Castle lifestyle? And that one was obvious. Want to take a guess?
I would say the Wine Estate.
The Wine Estate, yeah. And this is a brand new collection, right?
It is. It just came out in January, and it encompasses wine bags and stoppers and corkscrews. And what the theme is old-fashioned grape presses and corkscrews. And it just has a kind of an old-time look to it.
Tell you what, this is something I really want to encourage listeners to just go online and check it out. Just go to epicstyle.com, and you can go under Collections is the tab, and then click on the Wine Estate collection. You'll really like these products. It really is a real touch of class. Nothing's cheesy about this. Well, except the cheese board, because there is that. How come the cheese board says wine on it? Why doesn't it say cheese on it?
Well, wine and cheese go together.
Oh, really? Okay. But anyway, no, really elegant stuff. You've got all kinds of servers, cheese servers. You've got this really, really cool, and I have never seen this, antique corkscrew bottle stopper.
Yeah, that's really nice. So many people collect stoppers, And this would be just a great collection. And we designed it, and it looks like an old-time wing corkscrew.
So that's not something that was created back in the 1800s. That was something that you guys created to look like it was created back in the 1800s.
Correct.
Man, you guys would have been so popular back in the 1800s. Let me describe that for people. It looks a kind of brassy or bronzy, but definitely patinaed. And what's interesting is it looks like the winged corkscrews, but it's got more of that, you know, old-time style to it. And then at the bottom of it, attached to it, where the corkscrew or the worm of the corkscrew would go down, is a stopper that I guess pops in there somehow?
Well, it just goes in there. It's a metal stopper with a rubber seal.
Right.
So it seals very nicely.
It's a really lovely piece of art. I mean, really, really beautiful.
Our designers did a great job with this.
Gosh, dang. I tell you what, definitely. So everything from bags to coasters to napkins to stoppers to corkscrews. What is it about these collections that is so popular? Is this what people are demanding right now? They want to coordinate everything wine-wise?
Well, I think...
Are you finding that?
The reason why we're doing these collections now is that we found that people have so many different tastes. And your taste could be different than mine, than somebody else's. So we're offering a great variety, so we hit everybody. And hopefully there's a fit for everybody, and they can find something that really grabs them. And with the collections, we offer quite a bit of products within the collections, so in their house, they can have that whole look.
Yeah, it really is interesting because so many people will completely decorate their house with a wine theme. And depending upon whether you're going Bordeaux or Tuscan or Napa Valley, you can find a collection that's going to match that particular theme at EpicStyle.com.
Exactly.
It's there.
And great for gifts, too.
There's only one thing you won't find at EpicStyle.com collection-wise, one of the biggest oversights in the history of the company.
What are you setting me up for?
There is no Grape Encounters collection there.
We're going to work on that, Ryan.
You better get going on that. Matt, thanks a lot. I'm coming back home, and next time we talk to you, I'm hoping it'll be in person. But thanks for joining us on the phone these past 3 weeks. We've had a lot of fun. We would have had a lot more fun with you than without you.
Well, thank you.
And that's going to do it for Grape Encounters today. Always finishing on a high note with Matt Dubow, the one and only, except no substitutes, gadget guru from EpicStyle.com. See you next week.
At Grape Encounters Radio, we're not impressed by people who drink expensive wine without us.